focusing on the point that within each of us, the Supreme Lord is there as Super Soul, and He is ready to communicate with us and direct us. We have seen two examples from contemporary modern life about even non-devotees having experience of the Super Soul. Those of you who wish to become a little bit more fixed up in the understanding of the Super Soul and how He directs us, are kindly directed to one text in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we have yesterday summarized. You remember we had a part which we called the empirical way to understand the Super Soul. This text I will write down for you. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, text number 35. It's really a verse which can, and especially the purport, which can accompany you through your lives as devotees. It is a purport which needs to be studied again and again, and as you grow up in your maturity in Krishna consciousness, you will get deeper insights the more you study it. It's one of those verses which the verse lovers or and purport lovers, it's really the purport which where Prabhupada makes a step-by-step approach to the understanding of the Super Soul, which is a treasure of the many jewels of Srila Prabhupada's writings. This is one of them which is very interesting. Today is at least for me the most difficult day. I will tell you why. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains in the 6th chapter, verse 7, a very important point for those who wish to understand the Super Soul and how to make contact with Him. He says, Jitātmana prasantāsya paramātma samāhita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. Thank you. For one who has conquered the mind, the Super Soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and even dishonor, he doesn't say even, honor and dishonor are all the same. My dear devotee, 6th chapter, text 7. My dear devotees, this is such a profound and important verse for everyone who wishes to understand the Super Soul. The Super Soul becomes revealed when the waves of the mind, the vrittis, are pacified. Imagine a lake which has a cost or two costly jewels at the bottom of the lake. These jewels will not be perceived by the observer if the surface of the lake is whipped by powerful winds and storms who create waves. In the same way, a person whose mind is uncontrolled, totally pushed by the lower modes of passion and ignorance, will have tremendous difficulty to hear the voice of the Super Soul. He will not even see his own self, what to speak of the Super Self. Sri Krishna makes really an issue out of this mind control in the 6th chapter of the Gita by saying, for instance, a verse like this, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Today, in this session, we will think a little bit about mind control in Krishna-conscious ways. We will also dig a little bit in our mind. And this is the reason why I am a little bit shaky. I'm especially shaky because of the presence of Jayadvaita Maharaj, not because of the personality. We are very good friends and we like each other. Maharaj has given me his affection at many times, and it's not. But he stands for something for which I also stand. That is the pure Krishna consciousness, at least the presentation of it, and so on. We will now dive for a moment into the relative world. It's not because of my fear of Maharaj, but because of the standpoint, which is my own standpoint, that I'm shaking. But I do think in this seminar, which is meant to be, you know, something which we don't do in lectures, some intense study of something, it is valuable to dive into this. Now, I want to encourage all of you, as we do this, think critically. What I will say now is my realization based on how I understand Vedic psychology, but I do not claim that what I will say here has the same quality as the spiritual texts of Lord Krishna. And because I'm sometimes known for my sometimes little humor, I will start my session here in a humorous way, so that you will give me your sympathy. I will show you something where we will go in a boat with a floor made of glass over the unknown territory of the subconsciousness. We will sit in this boat with a floor of glass and look what is there in the ocean, animals, fishes, elves, and so on, by a very interesting cult movie. Is it called cult? Cult is negative in English. It became very famous. It's of a French regisseur, and it's very funny. Please see. Realm in which we are going today, both film movie makers and spiritual philosophers have said that the mind is a difficult territory. Here Lord Krishna tells us to conquer our restless minds and make them tranquil. Now, a way to do this is to understand a little bit how our mind works and moves. For this, we will go with you through a little exercise. I want to request you, sorry, it's my fault, you still need to have these shutters down because we are looking at some transparencies now. In the Vedic understanding, each one of us has deep sanskaras, which he, or impressions, not only from one life, but from previous lives, which he carries with him in his different existences. The reason why a person has a certain inclination and disposition is because of his sanskaras. The reason why someone gets upset about something, why someone is a tolerant person, and so on, is very often because of different impressions which made him like this. Srila Prabhupada was talking about a model of psychology which I wish to use today as the basis of our understandings. Let us please look at this thing here, this transparency. Yes. I have here the sanskaras. I have told them core beliefs, deep things which we have within us about ourselves, about Krishna and our relationship to him, about the creation around us, including other living entities. Now, the mind is resting on taking informations from these sanskaras, which come from what we would call a subconscious area. We are not aware of these deep ingrained core beliefs. Therefore, we have used the word core belief. It's in the heart, in the depths of the heart. Now, our mind is responsible for the three qualities which you see there: thinking, feeling, and finally willing. I would like to draw your attention on and this thinking, feeling, and willing, finally acting, forms our reality, your personal reality, the people you associate with, the places you prefer, the things which you like to eat, the situations, the circumstances, and environment. I have not included in my graph a very important factor, that's the three modes of material nature. I have assumed that you know about this and that you can combine them with the sanskaras. Let us hear a little bit about our thoughts and the nature of our thoughts and the thinking, feeling, and willing. For this part, I want to encourage you to give me your most valuable possession at this moment, that is your full attention, because I will go fast through it. Our thoughts, Prabhupada writes, are always changing. That is the nature of the mind. So you cannot expect that even the great saintly persons are free from thoughts coming and going. But after thinking, there is feeling and willing. Willing being the stage of putting the thoughts into action. That's why we wrote that after willing comes the reality. We do something and these activities influence our environment around us. So if we are able to employ our intelligence, then we kill the thoughts before they become manifest in activities. Srila Prabhupada is speaking here, that is unfortunately not here in this quotation of the letter. He talks about lusty desires. You know, when you have lusty desires, you have thinking, you think, ooh, this would be really a suitable engagement for my body and my mind. And you have feelings, ooh, I'm in love now. And then willing, and then you do something. Can I marry you? Or you write a letter, or you send flowers to the person, and so on and so forth. So if there's something which we don't want to happen, then we can use our intelligence and kill the thoughts, as Prabhupada says, before they become manifest in activity. But because we are so much inclined to enjoy something unintelligently, we have to therefore daily sharpen our intelligence faculty by reading and discussing and preaching to others. In this way, we are able very easily to defeat all challenges to our philosophy, and everything becomes very clear as it is revealed from different angles of vision. We want to now adopt Srila Prabhupada's process, which he has given here. Do you have a piece of stick? A stick? No, not the danda. This is a sacred object. I think you can. You're intelligent people. You can see. You have deep, deep beliefs about yourself. For instance, this you can see on chart number 2. As chart number 3. This is when a devotee becomes mental. I'm nothing. Krishna doesn't love me. Life scares me. I admit I give very extreme examples to make my point clear. Now from this come your thinking. Thinking means you have ideas, you have attitudes, you have opinions, obsessions even. And from this comes feelings. Oh, you may be depressed. I feel sad, guilty, afraid, inadequate, not sufficient. And then you have willing. I don't feel motivated. I'm self-destructive. Nothing works here. This I don't do now. I don't chant my 16 rounds. Everything is very bad with me. And then you create your reality. You have difficulties in life, problematic relationships, and so on and so forth. This is an example how these core beliefs are very, very important to be changed. This is why the positive thinking doesn't work. People nowadays, and also amateur Krishna conscious psychology people, I'm also not an expert, by the way, I'm less than a beginner, but I try to relate some things to what I've read. They say, just think positively and your life will be all right. The poor person cannot think positively if deep inside the sankskaras remain the same. Can you follow? O prasadam digestus, whose attention is in the stomach at the moment. Think positively. You need to change. You need to transform. Then the thinking, feeling, willing, and ultimately your reality will also work. I will move with you quickly to chart number 4. This is a chart which you will get, so you don't need to write anything. For instance, by chanting nicely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and transforming your heart, you can develop a very Krishna conscious attitude. For instance, in this pattern, I'm nothing, Krishna doesn't love me, life is so bad, and so on. If you become Krishna conscious and change your sankskaras, you can go like, because Krishna loves me, I have found shelter, and I'm peaceful now. Whatever happens, the Lord is there, and He is with me. Then you go into your thinking, feeling, willing, and your reality. I make an endeavor. You think the result is up to Krishna. You're not in anxiety. You feel, you're feeling, I feel taken care of. Krishna is with me. And you have enthusiasm and confidence. You go into the willing department. Let me dedicate my life to the service of Krishna and others. You set spiritual goals and your endeavor is a success. Reality becomes influenced by this and you will get the chart. I live with God, Krishna provides what I need, and even if things go wrong, you can control your mind. Once Loganath Maharaj wrote me, Sachinandan Swami, you can smile so nicely. This is my proposal. We put you on the back of a bullock cart, and this bullock cart goes through India, and you just smile, and then people will think Krishna consciousness will work. That moment I was attempted to give to send this chart to Lokanath Maharaj, but I didn't do because it needs explanation. I'm not always Krishna conscious, Maharaj, and therefore my bad sankskaras of being an evil-minded, egoistic, egocentric son of a Nazi will come through, you better don't take chances with such a person. I wanted to jokingly say, the smiling comes, that is a reality, it comes out of changing the core beliefs. And the sankskaras, or as Prabhupada would say, Krishna consciousness, the adventure of Krishna consciousness means to change the heart. If you have not changed the heart, but only the smile will wane very fastly. The transformation must go in there, then the thinking, feeling, willing can also be there. You will get a chart of this in a moment. For the moment we can... Is this model clear to you? I want to also give you a practical thing. Sometimes a thought comes. For instance, the typical ISKCON thought, I'm envious of so-and-so because he has better results and he has more. He seems to get more affection from others and so on. He can give a better lecture than me, he can sing a better kirtan, and now I'm envious as a result. This is typical for a beginner in spiritual life. When this happens, you will see that your feelings become poisoned, even angry, and you will wish bad to the other person, and you will also think that you really will something. You write a bad thing in the email computer about him, and finally your reality is there. You are dark and in your life, and people don't like you, and you don't like people, and so on and so forth. So when this happens, when you catch your thought, you could think, well, I'm not so Krishna conscious. Why is this happening to me? I must work on my deepest convictions, my deepest belief systems, and transform your work on transforming the heart. Then the thinking will also change, the feeling and the willing. This is practical Krishna conscious psychology in action. It's a very deep concept, and for this I have given you this chart so that you can take it and think about it. I've given you the taking out the weeds. Weeds are given in this. These negative feelings are given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is they are identified as being six in numbers. Jiva Hingsa, that is violence towards others. The subtle stage of violence before you beat someone, you are envious on him. Enviousness is a subtle form of violence. Then there is Nishidacha, that is activities which are not good for your spiritual life. Then there is Kutinati, a diplomatic behavior where you cheat others and yourself. Then there is Labha, that you always want to have profit in what you do. Radhanath Maharaj explains it as most of us are on the VHFM broadcast emission. VHFN means what's in for me. This is a modern translation of labha. You wish profit in your what you do. Then comes puja. You want to be worshipped. And then comes pratishtha. And this will create your reality. I want to reveal to you something, because I've sent you the movie and I talk about psychology. I don't want to talk about my audience and give an example of what's bad. I want to talk about me. When I became nominated as a guru in ISKCON, I was for the first time confronting puja in my life. And I remembered we had a separate guru puja, and there was a picture of all the gurus. Now, when I was going to the Deity Darshan, I had to go through this room and see the different pictures, and by their proportionately large and small heaps of flowers, I could analytically understand how much worshippers each picture had on this morning. Sometimes I would go and I would see my heap was disappointingly small. As a result, I felt, if I'm so much still attached to puja, to being worshipped, and feel miserable if the worship is not coming, how can I perform this responsible activity of only thinking good for the others and wanting to help them? And that made a gentleman's pause before I was more able to deal with this. I also understood at that moment, if I think like this and feel like this and will like this, then I cannot perform preaching as a service of this parampara. And my reality will be, I will be a nonsense person, a shadow of a devotee, not even a devotee. So this is an example of an individual's adoption in a difficult situation of this process. I don't know how successful I am. That is Srila Prabhupada, that's up for my senior devotees to help me and correct me. But this is very important to go through this every day. Otherwise, you live in a cheating world, a world of your own imaginations. Labha, puja, and pratishta. Pratishta is another weed. So as long as you are surrounded by these weeds and allow these weeds to influence your spiritual life, you will not create a Krishna conscious reality in your life. It will be a mayic reality, not encouraging for others, not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, and not encouraging to you in the ultimate essence. We are running against time. Can we please close this? You will get the thing. Can we get the light, the sunshine in, please? Our verse today is, for one who has control over the mind, the super soul is conquered. This is our subject. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives us an advice how we can control the mind. It's in the 6th chapter, text number 35. I'm sorry. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. But it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Now, to control the mind, we can do three things. And Sankirtan Prabhu, you are known for your good handwriting, at least to me, not so good. Who is a good handwriter? Would you mind? But really give your best. And you will have to be an intelligent handwriter as well. please make yourself a piece of paper and write this word down. The first advice which Krishna gives is abhyasa, which is translated here by suitable practice. Abhyasa. Yes, abhyasa. Yes, correct. It's called suitable practice. Please also write this down. What means suitable practice, which can help us to become a little bit bright-minded or Krishna consciousness in our lives? In the Gita, Lord Krishna says, yata yata nishchalati. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. You could please write down 626 in brackets so that devotees can read the text and the purport at their own reading times. This you have to practice each day when you see your mind is in negative things, in the weeds, It is urinating in the weeds, which we have shown to you. You have to bring it back. Don't tolerate how your mind is poisoning your existence, and your thinking, feeling, willing, and your reality is becoming un-Krishna conscious. First unconscious and then un-Krishna conscious. Or first un-Krishna conscious and then unconscious. I think this is the right way. When you see, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when you see that you are not in good Krishna consciousness, you should become like a beggar, he says, who goes into the association of devotees. Like a beggar, we do this in Goloka Dham. When we are hungry, we always know that Grihasthas have food, and we come like this, my dear Grihastha, please, something. We are very hungry. And they throw something in, and then we can eat. So in the same way, when you are hungry for Krishna consciousness, you must go into the association of devotees. Hear, and hear again from them. This is an abhyasa, a practice, suitable practice. In addition, the vow to daily chant a fixed number of rounds, for us it is 16, to offer one's obeisances to the Lord and the Vaishnavas, to regularly do a certain service, to have unflinching determination to stick to Ekadasi and other vows, to apply special attention to control of one's senses. These things help you. It's a abhyasa. Very often we say, become more deeper in Krishna consciousness. What does this mean? This means to practice this abhyasa. The second practice, which our writer will write down to you, is manaha. Manaha means deep reflection. This changes the quality of your mind. Deep reflection. The source of this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You can, for instance, when you prepare a lecture, go deeply into one subject. Or you want to stay brahmachari. Study what means brahmachari. Why is brahmacharya so much advised all over the shastras? Reflect about it. Move it. Start to think. This will change you. The third is smaran. Smaran means remembrance of Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami, he tells us to always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the goal of following all the other rules and regulations. This, number three, which has been written in red, bold letters for you, is very difficult for someone who has not practiced the one and two. It is impossible, really. If you do not practice a little abhyasa, suitable practice, that means to withdraw your mind by force, out of duty to spiritual life, it will never work. Then manaha, if you never think very deeply and allow yourself to be touched by the subject and change, will not work. And then smaran is a natural result, that you remember Krishna wherever you are, and in every situation. I will tell you an example of Srila Prabhupada, who's certainly on this level. I want to thank you very much. Your handwriting is not only brilliant, it is also very clear. Srila Prabhupada, this is Radhanath Maharaj told me, walks through Central Park in New York, and there seemed to be some ponds. At least he came with his stick and cracked the ice. Krang! 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 The devotees were a little bit wondrous about this unusual behavior. They asked the Prabhupada, why? Why you are doing? Prabhupada said, originally we are all Krishna conscious living entities. But in the material atmosphere, the mind becomes polluted and we forget Krishna. It is just like water which is originally fluent and transparent, but due to immense cold, the water becomes icy. In the same way, our consciousness in the material atmosphere becomes covered by ice, forgetfulness of Krishna. My duty is to crack that. Then he cracked the ice. He was, even when he saw ice, thinking of Krishna. Smaran. It's a constant thick flow of remembrance of Krishna in every situation. But it only comes if you do abhyasa and manaha. Otherwise it will not come. Srila Prabhupada used to train us in this. He used to discuss with us about different subjects. Sometimes he challenged his disciples and took the opponent view and defeated them. He played the role of the best objector to Krishna consciousness to make us reflect deeply about the subject and become convinced and so on. Abhyasa, and he always used to bring the subject in whatever situation he was to Krishna. Only one time I know he changed it. They were talking about the beauties of women, and Prabhupada said the Bengali women are the best. They look the best. They look the best. And Yogeshwara said, someone said, no, the French have also their qualities. And then Yogeshwara said, Prabhupada, are we not here talking, shouldn't we talk about Krishna? Krishna is the most beautiful. And Prabhupada said, no, we are now talking about women. This is the only incident where I know that Prabhupada, in a joking way, of course he did not want to go away from the subject, but yes. Hare Krishna. So, now, my dear devotees, I wish to make a little exercise with you. The exercise which I will request you to do will be based on the following story. Once there was a pilgrim going to the Ganga on pilgrimage, and as he was offering water to the Ganga and drinking the Ganga, he swallowed a little tadpole. Or so it seemed. Do you know what is a tadpole? It's a baby frog with a long tail, looks like an UFO, and the front, and has a... Now those of you who are knowers of Ganga know that there are no tadpoles in the Ganga. It goes too brisk. The tadpoles are in the pukurs in Bengal, the ponds, at a certain time in spring. Not in autumn. But the pilgrim who was there making his Kartik bath in the Ganga thought, I had drunken a tadpole. I've gone to Mother Ganga and I have become a non-veg. He was so shocked that he was lying down on the bank of the Ganga and started to die from heart failure. People came to him and said, why are you so distressed? I have become a non-veg in Kartik in Mother Ganga's water. No, there are no tadpoles in autumn and not in Ganga. I have drunk the tadpole. His state of health deteriorated every day a little bit more, until finally he was in the evening of his life. That moment, a sadhu was brought there, and the sadhu asked him, why are you dying? I'm dying because of the most grievous offense to Mother Ganga. There is no hell for a sinner like me. I have become a non-vegetarian. Oh, said the sadhu, why don't you vomit? Maybe it's still alive, and in this way, you are saved. Now everyone knows after a few days everything is digested. But the pilgrim did not think like this. He went like, ah! And when it was all coming out, the sadhu, in a very merciful way, made like, zip, and threw a tadpole inside the liquid. And he said to the pilgrim, listen, here is it. Now take the tadpole. Don't put it into Mother Ganga, because no tadpoles can swim in Mother Ganga. Take it to the pukur, and you will be saved. The poor man did it and was saved. With this, I want to show you how strong the mind is. He imagined he was bad, and he imagined he was good. And as a result, he was all right when he was in that mood, in the other mood. Mind is so strong. If you don't conquer the mind, it will bring you away from Krishna consciousness all the time. Do you know that each day you have an aggregate of 32,000 thoughts? You may say, no, no, I rarely think. I'm more a working person. 32,000 is too much. This is an overstatement. No! These are all moving. These are vrittis, thinking, feeling, willing, which you most of the time are not conscious, but who move you through your daily life. You need to control that. And for this, I want to request you to do a little work for us. We will have only 5 minutes. This is for the 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Please take the accompanying sheets and turn to the exercise sheet number 1. Is it there? Mm-hmm. This exercise should help you getting more clarity about some of your core beliefs. Answer the following sentences spontaneously in sequential order. That means start with number 1, then 2, 3, 4. Write down the first thought that comes into your mind. You don't have a working sheet. Then you can chant one round and elevate the atmosphere of the hall. This is very important. It is only for you. No one will see it. You have to not think what is the best answer you can possibly think of. That is not the task. You have to try to open that little door into your subconscious mind and find out what spontaneously comes. Whenever I work hard, complete the sentence, please. Then I feel joyful, happy, and whatever. Okay, when I make this sign to you, you can stop. Here, those who have no piece of paper, there is Gaura Bhavani will write a few of the questions so that you can think. Mataji says number 3 means at work. What do I feel? Not by work. Yeah, not so good in English. Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you very, very much. Please close the music. If you like to, you can, these are your sheets, and you can continue to write them as you get some free time. Look to it. The exercise was meant to show you a little bit where you are at. Can I ask a person who is not, who's a little bold by nature, to reveal something, if you wish? Number six. To me, Krishna means mercy. Number 10, I'm most afraid of myself. This is dangerous. What? Becoming old. Yes. Relationships are, number 13, troublesome. Mm-hmm. Yes. If you feel like that, if you're a preacher, you might have to do something about your core beliefs, or if you want to change, if you want to become a healthy brahmachari, you might have to change something, because in brahmachari life, you need good relationships with other brahmacharis. Or if you are a grihastha and you think relationships are troublesome, you know, I have some core beliefs, some deep things in me, which needs to be, need to be addressed and changed. For those of you who are still thinking this is too new agey and it must be absolutely criticized, I want to, and also all others, I want to show you something. 7, 12, 17. I must admit, have I done 7? In the Bhagavatam, there is a very nice section. It's actually in the instructions for civilized human beings. Now we have it. Hope that Krishna helps to find this. Yeah, here we come to it. Hare Krishna. Because I'm really struggling with the time factor. Here it is. Seventh Canto, Chapter 15, Text Number... yes. Yeah, 23. Here it said what you can do when you have these anattas in a Krishna conscious way. By make, for instance, if you suffer from desires for sense gratification, you can make plans. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Are you sometimes angry? Then here is an advice for you. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. Are you sometimes greedy? Then is an advice for you. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And are you afraid? Then you must discuss the truth. In this way, you find that in this chapter, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, we are encouraged to work very hard on our life so that we change the unpleasant impressions. Other ways to become a little bit thoughtful and more aware of our core beliefs, which seem to influence all of our reality, is if you write a diary. Srila Prabhupada said, every day, write, even if one sentence or two sentences. This writing means to do smaran, to remember what your spiritual master has said to you. Something like this. A very famous quote starts, every day, just write. What is very important to change your inner self, your core, your sankskaras, is regular praying. There is one verse which you will find in your working sheet, which is especially meant to be chanted at the end of the day. Can someone please help me? This Kayena Vacha Manasendriyava. Here. Have you found it? Page 7. Please chant this with me. Kayena vacha manasendiyai vai bodhyatmana vanusita svabhavat karomi yat yat sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samapayami. Whatever I did with my body, said with my words, thought with my mind, perceived with my senses, or understood with my intelligence today, I offer to the Supreme Lord Narayan. I always put Krishna there. This helps you to reflect your day. What was it that you did today, said today, thought today, perceived today, understood with your intelligence today? That's for Krishna. Sometimes this is the most embarrassing time of the day when you chant this prayer, because you feel my words have not said anything Krishna consciousness, my mind has not thought any Krishna consciousness, my senses have not perceived, and my intelligence has not understood so much. But tomorrow I will do. This is a prayer for tomorrow. It is something like a programming in the evening for the next day. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Now it's 12 o'clock and I have again arrived at the end of a class. I want to excuse myself a little bit for today. I was rushing through the material, because for this day I usually need half a day. This is 5 hours to really cover the ground. But I thought it's worthwhile to cover this and so on. Tomorrow, from tomorrow on it goes very relaxed. Not relaxed, not so fast and not so tense. Please think about today's seminar deeply. This is a very serious subject, which many of our devotees are not really aware of in their lives. How important it is to change core beliefs. Please also try a practice which you have learned today. Now, this practice of abhyasa, mana and smaran, you will benefit very much in your life, and you will be able to do what you have heard so often, that is to conquer the mind, to purify it really by Krishna consciousness. If you do have questions on this, please write them down, and tomorrow we can make a question thing, a question session in the middle of it. Honestly, if I fail tomorrow, then you have to intensely remind me what was with the question session, and so on. These are very serious subjects. They are not intellectual or academic, they are practical. And they will only work, these advices, if you become committed to use some of it in your lives. Remember, we want to be hear the voice of... how nice would it be to hear the voice of the super soul, to be directed and guided. Thank you very, very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.